Welcome in to Fantastics Insider Football Podcast. We're back at it here for week 13. It's your Fantastics Fantasy Primer. I'm Dan Claskins. He's James Adams. And we'd like to welcome you all in. If you're new to the podcast, be sure to keep up, subscribe wherever you listen. And of course, you can catch us anytime over on SiriusXM Fantasy Saturdays, all season long with Fantastics Insider Football, insiderfootball.com, our website with all the tools. And James, we are getting down the nitty-gritty, my friend. Just a couple weeks left in most fantasy leagues, as we've already documented some of the high-stakes stuff. Scott Fishbowl, I got eliminated this week. We'll talk about all those woes and more. But, man, here we are, buddy. Thanksgiving is behind us. The leftovers are gone. I'm a little disappointed.
You enjoyed them, though, if they're gone, because you went right back to the well.
Actually, I didn't. That's the thing. My family does wonderful Thanksgivings, and I did go home with the doggy bag. But when you don't host the event, it's not like you eat the stuff for 17 days straight like I prefer.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on to new feasts. But I certainly hammered my leftovers as well. They lasted till they basically lasted till Saturday night.
They didn't have any chance by the time you got home from the soccer game.
That's exactly right.
I'm sure. But
that's exactly right.
Nonetheless, our diets, our late night diets especially, aren't of interest here. People are subscribing to get into the goodness that is the fantasy season. Let's start by looking back a little quick. Some good stuff, some bad stuff. What do you got from week 12?
Well, I mean, no doubt about it. First of all, a very good surprise for me. It's got to be Jordan Love. I mean, first of all, like, it was kind of funny seeing the comparisons of Rodgers' first Thanksgiving Day game and Brett Favre's, because of those two great careers and what the pressure Love's under. But dang, if he didn't look like one of those two when you look at the stat lines. And an amazing day for Jordan Love. You know, he ended up being my quarterback in our Thanksgiving Day contest, and it was more by I was left hanging, right? I wanted Howler Love, and that was it. Picks went before me, so I didn't expect him to do what he did, but it looked good all day long, at least all morning long, and he earned a turkey leg, even though I guess he didn't get one.
I know. Got a little robbed there, for sure. But, you know, if you're talking about surprises on the good side of things, I really didn't have a quarterback just jump out off the board. I'm not saying there wasn't some nice performances, but there were more dud performances, I think, at the position to talk about. But, James, I will tell you one thing that I was super impressed with when we look back here at week 12, and it was at running back. Mm-hmm. And, wow, what a day it was. Kyren Williams, he was my stud on our show that day on this Fantastic show, which he was a fill-in for Rashad White, who didn't have a bad game either, but with the injury there. And, dude, he carried me. In my one DFS lineup, I actually said I had him, so that cashed. Of course, I didn't cash big because of the other positions I filled out. But, but dude, like, he carried me in the two season longs. I've got him, like, literally in must win games. Kyren Williams, 16 carries, 143 yards. He caught six balls for 61 and a pair of touchdowns there. RB1 on the week. And man, they're not going to get to play the Cardinals each week, but the volume that we see here is going to continue. This guy could end up being a league winner if this does keep up.
And that was with 10-point Tyler getting back to the points again, getting two touchdowns. And that's with Freeman getting a nice run at running back, too. So, yeah, that was impressive. I mean, I thought he would be good. I didn't think he'd be that good.
Yeah. And then, dude, of course, you know, I've got a ton of Rashee Rice shares. I've got him everywhere. I did bench him in most of those spots. And then, of course, he turns in his first 100-yard day, 8 for 107 and a touchdown. But a really good surprise, except I was going against him in a couple places. Gabriel Davis, after a couple donut eggs, goes for 6 and 105 and a touchdown, targeted 12 times. Josh Allen, the Eagles, that was the Bills we thought they would be all season. Maybe it's a little too late, but Davis is more of a blip in the radar. I am still optimistic, as I've said it since the summer, that Rashee Rice is going to be somebody to make a difference down the stretch, and maybe we got a taste of it here. Something's got to come up to life in this passing attack.
It was nice to see that happen, as if Kadarius Toney got out of the way and was injured, which is something we haven't said a ton about him this year. Kadarius Toney injured, moves out of the way. Rashee Rice had some good play.
And Mecole Hardman placed on IR. Not that that matters, but fewer bodies, never a bad thing there. What about you? You got something else good before we go to the bad?
Another pair of running backs that I'll just throw out there, Ramondre Stevenson. He was a late swap into one of my lineups. I lost anyway in the KFFSC playoffs, but that's okay. I set the best lineup I could. We'll make a push at that main event. But Ramondre, a late swap in, and the volume in the passing game, 90 yards rushing. He was very good. Chuba Hubbard. I mean, I actually turned to him in a team that I'm a playoff. I'd be a playoff team right now in a 14-teamer. I had Chuba Hubbard and Samaje Perine at my running backs, and I had a great week. Chuba Hubbard. 100 all-purpose yards in that matchup, and he is really kind of taken over as the guy. Now it'll be interesting to see what happens at Carolina when the coaching change, as we have a coaching change going on.
No doubt about it. Let's go from the good to the bad, and I've got a couple names to start us out with here, and let's start, James. I told you I had some quarterbacks that threw out some duds, and oh my goodness, thank God it didn't matter because it was one of those Kyren Williams, but I was torn. I was torn in my 16-team league. Herbert, I've been riding him all season. I love the Ravens, but it was my bet of the week. I liked Dobbs to have a good game, so I benched Herbert in favor of Dobbs. And, oh, my God, that Monday night game, he was going the wrong direction. I mean, I was up like 13 points in the game, and at one point I was literally starting to sweat like he was going to blow it, like negative 14 points. And this is only a -2 interception league. Mind you here, but it all worked out except for Dobbs, QB 25, 4 picks, 185. He's got to buy this week. Good news is, we'll talk about in the injury report, Justin Jefferson is off IR, but I don't know, maybe the honeymoon's over a little bit here for the fantasy managers riding Dobbs after all their quarterback woes.
I'll piggyback on that game too. It's a bad Monday night game performance from a fantasy perspective for the second time in a couple of weeks, going back to the Philly KC game a few weeks ago where we got let down. I thought, man, there were four running backs I thought were worth playing. Not one of them was worth a darn between Johnson, Herbert, Chandler, Madison. So I'll piggyback with you there. Dan, I've actually got a bad surprise that was a good performance from a quarterback, is Jalen Hurts. I told you I went down in the KFFSC playoffs. My goodness, I got dismantled by Jalen Hurts, and he basically had no points on the board after the first quarter. Then you get the tush push, and then, boy, momentum was rolling downhill. That was a good performance by him, just a bad surprise for me. But, Dan, two guys that I was telling people that were easy to play – Gus Edwards, he was a no-show. Puka Nacua, we talked about Kyren Williams and the other good things in that offense. With Cooper Kupp playing, but, you know, seemingly banged up, limited, I would have thought Nacua would have had more volume. Essentially, it was Tutu Atwell was the best receiver for that team. Those were some bad surprises.
Yeah, I've got a few receivers to throw at you. I don't know how surprising it was because I did think the Niners would do it. But, dude, the question was, is which of the Seahawks receiver could be good in that game? The answer was D, none of the above. Yeah. DK Metcalf, Jackson Smith Njigba, Tyler Lockett, combined in PPR leagues, combined points, James, 18.3. They were wide receivers 71, 72, and 73, respectively.
Boy.
Ouch.
Smith didn't look great.
I didn't really, you know, I wasn't thinking any of those guys were going off. One guy I did like quite a bit this week in the matchup was Chris Godwin. I liked Baker Mayfield. I mean, I loved Mike Evans. I thought the whole passing attack, I liked the Bucs. They didn't end up coming up short. But, dude, Evans, where has he gone? I mean, the guy's getting 6-7 targets consistently. So there is somewhat of a PPR floor, you'd think. But 4 straight games in PPR leagues, he has failed to reach double-digit points now, James, despite in that span having an unprecedented 26 targets. So
the first name on my bad list was Godwin. I didn't throw him out there just because I already hammered on some others. And here's what I was thinking with Godwin. Is it a surprise? Because what you just laid out there is it's been happening over and over again. He has been a bad surprise on the season.
Yeah, it's been, the thing is Mike Evans is just eating it all. I mean, as he's been as good as Godwin has been bad, but enough about last week. Let's get on to this week. Before we get into the waiver wire, we've got to get to the injury report. And James, I was preparing the notes for the podcast this morning and putting together the injuries, and I was like, oh man, there's actually not, like, compared to some other weeks, like these huge, just devastating names that fantasy managers' playoff hopes could crumble as we talk about it. And then as the day went on, more and more of them started to come up. And the big one, Jonathan Taylor with a thumb injury. It appears he's going to have surgery on his thumb, which we're still not as sure exactly what happened in that game. They're hoping that some of the reports surfacing is their Colts are optimistic that this could just be a few weeks here, but this is the wrong time of the season for a guy that was just starting to get going here in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, he'd established himself as an RB1. So this is certainly a bad surprise for a Tuesday.
Yeah. So what's your take on the offense these next few weeks without him?
I mean, the offense was okay. I certainly you're going to see him throw to Pittman a lot. I mean, I don't know. Are we trusting, going back to somebody like Moss? I guess.
I mean, we'll get to him in the waiver wire report a little bit in terms if he is on the wire and how we would approach it. But, I mean, given this news, what we saw from Moss before, I don't know how you can't view him as, you know, a top 25 running back for these next couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't know if he gets to JT Taylor, but or JT territory, but the workload should be there.
Yeah, you look at the schedule at Tennessee, at Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. Those are some favorable matchups. I mean, Cincinnati is obviously a really good matchup the way they've been against the run. Tennessee and Pittsburgh, they're not the worst of matchups. My point is I definitely think he's an RB2 here for the next few weeks. Elsewhere on this injury report, let's talk about the Browns mess. I mean, Dorian Thompson Robinson with a concussion. We know what PJ Walker is, and you had Amari Cooper with a rib injury all of a sudden. I mean, we don't know what concussion protocol looks like, but we know outside of a few examples this season, it takes longer than a week to clear it. Mm-hmm. We know the Browns, we'll get into the matchup here. They're staying out west. They're on the left coast after a tough loss there with Denver. They now head to the Chargers, I believe. I don't have
Rams.
The Rams. That's right. It's the Rams they're playing this week. I knew it was in LA. So they're playing the Rams. I mean, dude, there's a real chance Joe Flacco starts here.
It's not quite January, so it's not January Joe time. But look, I mean, what are you going to do with this Cleveland offense? I think this is a team that you've just been playing their defense, and that's about it. Jerome Ford is hopefully clear of whatever nonsense goes on at quarterback. The real loss, I think, in this whole thing is maybe David Njoku, because it seemed like he had a little bit of a rapport with DTR over these last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, Ford is what he is. I mean, Hunt, I'm not cutting him. He's a nice bench piece in case you're in a pinch. But outside of that, dude, if Cooper's out there, I have no interest outside the Browns and Dustin Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Bucs. We'll keep our eye on Baker Mayfield. He was dealing with an ankle issue here. He's been dealing with it for a couple weeks. We saw the Saints lose a couple wideouts. Chris Olave to a concussion. Rashid Shaheed, of course, one of my favorite props in and out of the game with a thigh issue from the onset. Failed to get to his 37 and a half yards. I need it. And then Demario Douglas with the head issue. So, as I said, not a lot of injuries there. Let's get to that waiver wire report, James. And, I mean, Zach Moss, just resetting what we talked about here, given the Taylor news, I mean, I can't imagine if he's on a waiver wire, he's not the top bid this week.
Yeah. In 99% of the leagues, he will be, right?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much.
Exactly. And I don't expect him to be out there in that many leagues, but people were cutting bait, especially as you mentioned, Taylor emerging here. So unless you were a Taylor owner that had Moss as a handcuff, Moss did get expendable to some. So outside of him, James, running backs, I know in shallower leagues, I mean, you mentioned Chuba Hubbard and Keaton Mitchell and these guys. I mean, they're not out there for most. Is there something deeper down the list you're doing at the position? Because right now I'm looking at it and I'm like, at this point, it's mostly stash time and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Moss is a great example of why you should be handcuffing the running backs that you're relying on at this point. If you've got a good fantasy team with decent running backs, go block up your stable. But, you know, I mean, look, Jeff Wilson, I don't know how available he is. He's a part of that big play offense. And with Achan not playing on Friday, he looked, he was decent. He certainly was the second fiddle to Mostert.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's not a whole lot. No.
Handcuff your handcuff. That's a good lesson. I mean, in deeper leagues, you got to grab what you can. But like in a lot of these 12-team leagues and stuff where 16-player rosters, I mean, it's hard to do too much. You want to ensure your stuff, right? So Elijah Mitchell, obviously, Tyjae Spears, another name there. Tyler Allgeier, he's probably got some standalone value from his early season success. Roschon Johnson was cut in a lot of leagues, would qualify. Royce Freeman apparently is that guy to Kyren Williams.
Yeah, that's one. That's certainly to take notice over the last 2 weeks, his volume and obviously the Henderson cut.
Yeah, an interesting name that's popped up of late because Tank Bigsby's had such a crappy rookie season. D'Ernest Johnson, a handcuff to Travis Etienne, to keep your eyes on him. And, of course, we talked about him in recent weeks on either here or on the show, Rico Dowdle to Tony Pollard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I mean, you know who you've got. At this point, you know who your handcuffs are as well.
Let's look at receiver. Anything strike your fancy there, James?
I mean, I said a few weeks ago that I thought Jaden Reed was the number one in Green Bay. I don't know if that's quite true, but I mean, he's certainly got to be a
player. He's still out there on a ton of waiver wires for a guy that's got 18 catches over the last three games.
Yeah, he'd be A1 for me at receiver.
Yeah, I talked about Demario Douglas being hurt. He's still, I mean, as crappy as the Patriots are in PPR, the guy's still getting targets. So sure in deeper is. Leagues, Jalen Hyatt made a splash here. They got a bye coming up this week. He could be something there, although I don't really want too many pieces of that Giants passing attack.
No, I almost made him one of my good surprises. I was like, hey, he's had that talent all year. I mean, I have him in so many best balls. Am I that surprised? I'm surprised it didn't happen yet.
Curtis Samuel, a guy that had a big Thanksgiving after a hot start, got in a midseason stretch. He could have been dumped in shallower leagues. I probably like him as much as any receiver we said outside of maybe Reed.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And every time Dotson misses, Samuel just becomes an even better piece to play.
Yeah. Tight end. I mean, the guy for me this week is undoubtedly going to be Pratt Freiermuth from the shallower leagues where he was dropped. I mean, with Matt Canada gone, I got to see it firsthand, and it wasn't pretty as a Bengal fan. Freiermuth looking studly out there, James. And definitely Isaiah Likely. I was a little pessimistic about it, and I didn't blow any fab wad. I picked him up in a couple spots, but if he's still out there, I definitely think the targets are going to be enough there to get him into what we said last week. He could be a weekly high-end tight end too as a floor.
Yeah, and I mean, if he's there, he's picked up in most leagues by now, but Taysom Hill.
I'd rather take Likely over Higbee, another guy that could be looked at this week after a rough cold stretch.
I would too, because Higbee hasn't, you know what I mean? Like, Higbee's been so disappointing. Like, this was the splash week that's going to make that 504 touchdowns again this year, but that we just saw
it.
It's in the rear
view. This is how he gets to his stats, these few big games. All right, quarterback. I don't have anything new that we haven't talked about. What's your weekly rundown of options out there on the wire?
There isn't really anything. I think at this point, understand, you know, if your waivers are going to lock soon, have a backup at not only quarterback, but kicker. I think in these main event style leagues, I think Kentucky fantasy football locks next week.
It's going to be that time of year where you have to be worrying about weather kickers too. If you're making a decision between two guys you think are the same, go with the warm weather or dome kicker instead of that, you know, guy kicking up at Lambeau Field.
Yep.
I'm with you there. I mean, tight end, we mentioned a couple. I don't really have anything else. I don't care about Gerald Everett finally getting a touchdown, so please.
Nor do I.
Leave him on the wire. At quarterback, as you said, nothing out there. I am interested in super flex spots to see what happens with this New England situation, particularly if it's Malik Cunningham, because I think he might have a little rushing floor that could make him worth the roster spot. It's pretty much the same old there. Defensive streamers this week. I'm on the Falcons and the Jets, both sides of that matchup for me, James. And also take a crack with the Bucks as they host the Panthers, who fired Frank Reich before he's even done with his first season.
I mean, the Rams are going to get the hapless Browns, and they're not a good defense statistically this year, so they're probably available in a lot of leagues.
Anything additional?
Not really. I mean, some of the next ones down are teams that are a little more well rostered. So look, you're playing against a lot of these backups, right? Aren't you hunting down these rookie quarterbacks?
Pick on the backup quarterbacks that are starting when you get desperate. But I don't think it's going to get better than the Jets and Falcons for the record.
Jags on Monday night, if they're available, get the backup quarterback.
Yeah, Jags would be a good one against the backup quarterback. Even the Chargers get a relative this week because they're playing the Patriots.
Well, do they have a starting quarterback? I got negative points from Mac Jones in a super flex, and I won. I swear.
Oh, mighty. All right, so we've got that. There's your waiver wire targets for this week. Let's wrap it up as we always do, turning to the first look at the week ahead here. And James, this week, a 16 bye week, right after we come out of a no bye week, everything to be thankful for. Now you get smacked with reality. Six teams on a bye. They include Buffalo, Chicago, Las Vegas, Minnesota, the New York Football Giants, and the Baltimore Ravens. Some pretty good names there. And James, after this, we still got a couple left here in week 14, but for most part, we'll be through the byes. This is the big one.
Yes, it is. And these, I mean, it's playoff weeks in FPC. I've got a matchup where my opponent has the Bills hook up Allen and Diggs. I'm without Hockenson. We'll see what happens.
It's going to be interesting.
It's a wild week. Hopefully you prepared for it already, right?
What's left is a short slate with some crap games, though, really. It kicks off Thursday night. Dallas actually less than a double-digit favorite for the first time in almost a month here. They actually have a team that, well, has a slight chance to score. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys have easier football schedules than some college teams, in my opinion. But this week, they're at home, and they get Seattle. They're laying 9. The total's 46. Dak, I mean, dude, I've already eaten the crow on him at this point. I mean, the guy's entering MVP conversation.
He most assuredly is, and I mean, I'm going to continue to ride the hot hand there with Dak. You're certainly going to ride that hot hand with CeeDee Lamb. The real question is, like, gosh, are you ready to acknowledge that Brandon Cooks is a lineup consideration?
I'm not. Maybe in this bye week riddle thing it is. I mean, yes.
I think that's probably been 2 good weeks in a row or 2 out of 3. I'm not looking at it straight.
Yeah. Seattle is pretty good defensively. I mean, not as good as they were early in the season, but this team isn't a walkover on this total sitting at 40. It was at 45.5 up to 46.5. I think that's about right. If Dallas's defense scores points, then obviously it's all out the window, but I don't see the offense just going crazy here. I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to be nice fantasy plays. I don't think it's going to be one of those weeks where they put up 50.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, certainly Seattle's a better defense.
Seattle
at
wants
home,
to run
but
the ball too. So when they're on offense, they're going to eat clock, and that is part of it. Number of plays in a game. I mean, they're amongst of the teams that don't totally stink. They're actually one of the teams in there, but overall, Dallas, you're right. You're starting your studs. You're starting your guys. On the Seattle side, it's going to be tough to trust much here. I mean, these receivers against a good defense last week totally were poo, and it started with Geno Smith, who's less than 100%. Kenneth Walker, I mean, all eyes on him. Here's a guy that missed last week. As of right now, he did not practice on Tuesday, dealing with an oblique. I don't expect him to play again. That's just my inference at this point, but so Zach Charbonnet, even in this tough matchup, becomes fantasy worthy as at least a flex consideration, even if you love the Cowboys matchup. But really, DK Metcalf, I mean, I guess I'll go give him a chance. The other two are nowhere near lineups. And as far as Geno Smith, unless you're in a super flex, this is a guy that is pretty far down my board this week. I don't even have him in my top 20, James. So
yeah.
Or actually, that's inaccurate. I've got him at 18. But again, there's 6 teams on bye, so it just seems like he's down at the bottom. In terms of the next Sunday slate, we do have a handful of games there. We'll start with the Chargers, the Patriots. This one's easy on the Patriots side. Unless it's named Ramondre Stevenson, you're not considering him in your lineup at this point. Mm-hmm. I know we talked about DeMario Douglas. I guess we're going to see who's at quarterback. I don't even know what the Patriots know at this point, but James, their defense is still pretty decent. So on the road, going across the country, how are you rolling with these Chargers in fantasy lineups?
Eckler, Allen, Herbert, that's it. And you're right. I mean, we saw that even though they lost last week, they only gave up 10 points. They didn't really, I mean, other than Jalen Hyatt, nobody on the Giants, including Saquon Barkley, looked very good. So don't get your hopes up in this matchup, because this is not going to be, it's going to be a Chargers win finally, but it's not going to be pretty for fantasy.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I definitely think that, Herbert and them could still have some nice numbers, though. So Eckler's a guy that's just interesting in his own right, because he's been sore. I mean, I keep waiting for the big breakout game, but I've come to the conclusion Austin Eckler has lost a step. I don't know.
I'm not sure that offense is just that great, frankly. Like,
he's just not – it doesn't have the explosiveness that he had in the past. And, I mean, you know, dude's played 8 games now. He's getting – 16.3 PPR points per game. But James, if you look at, like, he's only eclipsed 20 points in PPR twice, which, I mean, you know, that's, I mean, that sounds like not that terrible, but this is Austin freaking Eckler, man.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm with you. He's certainly at the back end of his career, and the offense is just not that good. And with no Mike Williams, There's really it's either Eckler or it's Keenan Allen. I mean, defenses know what to do to this team now.
Yeah, we got Detroit at New Orleans, another 1 o'clock kickoff here on the east side, Eastern time. And this one, we already talked about all the injuries we're uncertain of on the Saints. Right now, the Lions a 4-point favorite. And James, if one Thanksgiving tradition held true, it's the Detroit Lions lose. And they bounce back in this one against a pretty good Saints defense and a pretty loud place to play. I mean, the Lions starting to have more question marks than answers as we head down the stretch.
Yeah, because they just skated by the week before. I think the Lions do get healthy, but I think this is an under. So I could see both defenses being in play in fantasy. But, you know, look, I don't know that Goff is a guy you want to turn to this week. So I think it's like, hey, you'll go to Amon-Ra. I think you could lower your expectations. You'll go to Laporta, too, in the passing game. You can go ahead and lower your expectations for Montgomery and for Gibbs, but I reckon you're going to play them both.
Yeah. I'm with you there. On the Saints side, we'll see what happens. I mean, Carr's back at quarterback. That's a much. I mean, Kamara is locked in. Taysom Hill's remembered who he was all of a sudden. But with all these injuries at receiver, he could have a bigger role here against the Lions. So in this 16 bye week, I've got him as a back end tight end one, despite some slowdown of late. I'm hoping Olave can get out of concussion protocol. We shall see. But, I mean, they could be very limited here offensively. Kamara, if all these guys are out, even if it's a tough matchup, I mean, he could have 15 catches in this game, James, if they're that shorthanded. So,
yeah,
very much could be RB1 in a PPR, even if everything goes wrong here for the Saints. The Steelers, they're hosting the Cardinals. And this one is a 5.5-point line to the home team, the Steelers. 41's the total here. And Matt Canada, 44 career games as offensive coordinator, 0 400 yards games. First game without him, they eclipse it. Now, part of that was going against the Bengals, but offense definitely looks better. Really set up the play action, got Freiermuth involved. Kenny Pickett looked good. And as Swiss cheese as the Bengal defenses look like, this Cardinals defense is even worse here, James. So I'm pretty bullish on the Steelers this week. Both running backs definitely in play. Freiermuth is reinserted himself in the top 10, and I'm even willing to take my chances with Pickens and Johnson given the bye weeks that we're dealing with. I think they're in wide receiver 3 flex play for sure. So I'm buying the Steelers at least this week, one more week here with the Cardinals.
Yeah. I mean, how do you argue against that after you look at what Higby and Kyren Williams did to him a week ago? So no arguments from here.
Flip it over to the visiting team.
So the Cardinals, I mean, certainly Pittsburgh, a tough place to play. This will be an interesting game. I don't know that you call it revenge for James Conner, certainly a homecoming. I'm going to turn to James Conner because he'll get catches if he doesn't get rushing yards from there. I mean, Kyler Murray, I still think is a QB1. I'd play him over a guy like I just mentioned in golf, but there's not a ton that I like in this offense after Trey McBride and the two I mentioned there.
Not a ton to like in our next matchup offensively either. It's the Jets, the Falcons. We talked about the defensive streamer play of the week. The total opened at 36.5. It's dropped to 34. It's going down by the minute. Falcons a 2.5-point favorite, as they should be, I guess, given the nature of the Jets here. But, James, I don't know what to make of it. It was nice to see Bijan Robinson get back involved here, and we got a flash of what his talents look like, and they're immense. Let's be real here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're starting him in every season-long lineup. Outside of that, I don't know. I mean, Drake London, I guess, but the matchup's pretty tough here against the Jets. So he's actually not in my top 35 this week, at least on the initial ranking here. So I don't really have much else for you unless you're, you know, just still a prisoner of having to start Kyle Pitts because of the draft capital you paid. I can't think of anything else here. I can rubber stamp for Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, Waddle and Hill both were very productive against this Jets defense a week ago. If that's a reason you need to feel better about playing Drake London, which I will need that reason to feel better this week, but I don't feel good about it from the Jets side. I mean, Breece Hall, he had to get some catches to even look good last week. It's like you're getting to the point where you don't want to play anybody on this Jets offense. The Falcons slow the game down, play decent defense. I think you're still turning to Wilson and Hall, but gosh, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Colts Titans, this one will be a little bit better offensively. The total's in the low 40s, up to 42.5 now. The visiting Colts, a 1-point favorite here, and that's even with the news of Jonathan Taylor. I think part of that's because we've all saw what this offense can do without Taylor and with Zach Moss proven capable there. So I do think the Colts will continue to not miss a beat in this regard. Tennessee's been a little bit tougher against the pass later in the season than they were earlier in the season here. And the way Minshew looked last week against Tampa, I really think he's a guy here that could put up some solid numbers. I like him. Obviously, Pittman, you're rolling out him. We talked about Moss. He's an RB2 this week. Josh Downs, he's getting the targets, 12 targets last week. It hasn't all clicked yet, but he's just a couple. I think he's still going to have a couple explosion games before the season's out. It could be as early as this week. So if I need him, I'll roll him here. James, what's your thoughts on the Titans?
Henry, Hopkins, nothing further.
Yeah, the Will Levis buzz has sort of cooled off since those first couple big games, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this offense was so ugly, and it just maintains being so ugly that the little bit of life we saw with Levis and the deep ball got us excited. But the reality is this team wants to run the football. Like, they don't want Levis to be the reason they make a playoff push.
The thing is with that said, I mean, Hopkins is sort of, along with Levis's stock, that soaring Hopkins value, it peaked as well. I mean,
yes.
So, I mean, you're praying for the deep ball, which we all know he's got, but in reality, I mean, here's a guy that in week 8 scored 29 fantasy points in ESPN leagues. Over the next 4 games, James, he's got a total of 46 points.
Yeah.
So he hasn't even gotten 12 points a game over the last 4. And his last time out was just putrid. I mean, this guy hasn't hit 200 yards in 3 straight games. So
they won last week.
I guess the point I'm making, I don't even consider DeAndre Hopkins that high up my board. The only reason he's even in lineup consideration in this slump right here is, one, the matchup's not terrible, and two, the buys, 6 of them on the bye.
And two, last week they played the awful Carolina Panthers, who didn't do anything on offense. It didn't force the Titans to have to do anything. Their 17 points was enough to win. Dude, that'll be different this week. They'll need to throw the ball.
More. Game flow will help, but it wasn't like they put up 30 points. I mean, they were never up more than 10 in the game. So
sure. Well, Mike Vrabel doesn't need to. He's an old linebacker. Dog wants to play D.
I understand. It's a valid point, but 3 in a row, regardless, is concerning because that's the way Mike Vrabel wants to play every game.
Yeah, well, that's a good counterpoint. That's fair.
Well, that's
fair,
a counterpoint you made to start the conversation.
I know. I'm giving you kudos, bro.
All right, bro. I'll take the compliment because you don't give them often. But all right, Commanders and Dolphins. Another 1 o'clock start here, James. I'll let you do the fun team. Let's hear Miami in this matchup against a Commanders defense that is really reeling right now, including just firing their defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio.
There is no pass rush, and that's by design because they traded everyone, did the Commanders. So Tua's going to have plenty of time to pick the pocket, sit in the pocket, and pick them apart. That means Waddle and Tua, or I'm sorry, Tyreek Hill. I mean, those two along with Tua might be a good stack in DFS because that's what Mike McDaniel wants to do, and I don't see why he wouldn't. Most are clearly in lineups as well. As I mentioned, I mean, if Achane were to be inactive again, and this is way too early to speculate in that regard, I mean, you could even turn to Wilson because there's going to be garbage time and he'll get it. So, I mean, this is a, if you're desperate and you're just like picking out of thin air, pick a Dolphin in this matchup.
Yeah, they're all good. On the Commander side, I mean, Sam Howell's going to be chucking the rock. So I'm riding him. Really, I'm riding, McLaurin and Samuel and Logan Thomas just because they're going to be throwing so much. Uh-huh. Robinson is a little more dicey, but he can't catch the ball in the backfield. But use him as you need him on the Commanders. One thing's for sure, this game has the highest total of the week, 50.5, and that is anticipating Washington putting some points on the board. So It is in Washington, too, which could help a little bit. The Broncos and the Texans, our final 1 o'clock game to kick off here. The Texans are 3.5-point favorite here, 47.5, and these are two very hot teams. This game in week 13, James, a huge game in the AFC playoff picture here. The Texans coming off a disappointing loss a couple weeks ago. And then meanwhile, you got a Broncos team coming into this matchup. Suddenly, you look down, the Broncos are 6-5, the same team that got rolled with 70 by the Dolphins. They've now come off here, James, and I mean, it's just been impressive after impression. You look at their 5 straight wins, Cleveland, Minnesota, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Green Bay. And in all of those games, you're talking about a team that, I mean, no more than a couple touchdowns have they given up. So this defense has been a big part of it.
Sure has. It was a good defense a year ago. Seemingly they found themselves, and Coach Payton certainly has proven he's a good football coach again when I wasn't so sure. I don't know, about a month into the season.
Yeah, I mean, I would never have guessed this a month ago, to be
frank. Heck no.
I will say, it is clicking, and right now, I'm looking at Denver and the way they're playing. I think they are in the playoff hunt. Mm-hmm. And the AFC is, you know, some of the normal teams are falling on injury or tough times here. So, I mean, right now, dude, I'd rather see the Broncos and the Texans get in than the Browns, who don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, just from a, you know, competitive standpoint. Not well, necessarily.
I'm sitting here thinking like, yeah, if it's Brown, flush it down. Of course I think
that. Well, I mean, that's not my Bengal fan coming at me. That's me, my football, like, fantasy mind of, like, you know, the Texans and the Broncos seem like exciting offense, you know, teams that can make an upset here. And the Browns, I mean, their defense is good. It's not picking on the Browns, but, I mean, they're about to start Joe Flacco at quarterback, for crying
out loud. Offense is a little more fun to watch. I do not disagree with it. Certainly, as fantasy guys, we're in tune with watching offense.
So,
and whether it's Javonte or CJ, I agree.
In this matchup, talk about what you like about Denver versus this Texans D that it has given up chunks of points and yards.
I mean, in the passing game, I think I'm only going to go with Cortland Sutton still. I think that's the one and done from the passing perspective. I don't even know that I'll turn to Russell Wilson, quite frankly, in this 12-team week. He was not good fantasy-wise a week ago in their nice win. Javonte Williams, certainly in play. And quite frankly, I said it a week ago, I'll say it again, Samaje Perine, I know it was a fluky touchdown early in the game, but he gets a couple of touches. They've created fantasy points. If you're desperate, it's there. Again, I wouldn't play him unless I was desperate.
Fair enough. On the other side of the Texans, I mean, Stroud, Dell, Collins, Singletary, we're using all of them. Outside of that, I mean, Noah Brown, we don't know if he's coming back yet. His arrival could actually ding the other guys, but yeah. I'm riding them while they're hot, James. And right now, those guys are all red, red hot. Let's get on to Carolina, Tampa Bay, 4:05 kickoff Eastern. The Bucs up to a 5.5-point favorite, 37 total here. We mentioned this Panthers team and coming in here with a new head coach. And James, it's not quite yet official, but I think it's about 90% I'm actually going to be at this game on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that. And in terms of the Carolina Panthers, what can we look forward to in fantasy with a new head coach?
Nothing. Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard, Adam Thielen, where did he go? He was like PPR gold there for a while.
One catch for 2 yards last week.
I know. I'm still going to give him another shot in a lineup.
So am I.
I mean, I am. I do think that, you know, he's been mostly solid. Dude's allowed a dud. Mm-hmm. This matchup isn't the toughest. But, you know, sometimes when we see these coaching changes, you'll get some sparks and things. Not all the time.
Is Mingo in play, maybe? I mean, Pittman had a massive day last week against this.
Well, I let him play his way into the lineup for sure. I have to use Bryce Young in our Do Good Fantasy Listener League because I've got, first of all, I have crap quarterbacks, and two of them are on buys. So it's, you know, it's either him or another position. And I don't have a lot of great. Actually, I could go him or James Cook, which is interesting.
Here's the deal. This is completely side topic, but a few weeks ago somebody asked us a question. And I said, I always super flex a quarterback. I had Tyler Higbee on my bench in a tight end premium league. That's also super flex in favor of -0.4 from Mac Jones. So I think it's time to,
this year is debunking the always start a quarterback theme. When you look at some of the quarterbacks actually starting,
sure is.
It sure, sure is. So you can't always stick to a strategy. You have to be fluid, and we're being fluid right now. Bryce Young in a super flex, if you need him, is okay here just because of the teams on buys and the quarterbacks we're looking at. Tampa Bay, I mean, Evans, we're hoping Mayfield's able to go. If Mayfield is able to go here, James, he's a high-end QB too. Rashad White, this is the game that I thought he was going to have last week, probably coming this week, so he's in a smash spot. And as much as I bashed on Godwin in this matchup, I got to think he's still a fringe top 40 wideout, which puts him in play.
Kate Otten, if you're somebody looking for a replacement for likely/Andrews, TJ Hockenson, he's out there. I didn't mention him on the waiver wire, but he's a tight end there too.
The game of the week, undoubtedly, San Francisco, Philadelphia in Philly, 4:25 kickoff. The Niners, 2.5-point home favorite, or road favorite, I should say. 47's the total here at DraftKings Sportsbook, at least it was earlier today. And I think those numbers are about right here, James. I mean, the Niners come into this. I think the offense, obviously, it's key having everybody healthy. We've seen good things. Debo's back in the mix here as a lead guy. Ayuk, Kittle's the one that hasn't really been able to enjoy consistency as much. Samuel's, you know, Samuel's return, I think, dings him a little bit here. I mean, obviously in season long, you're rolling Kittle as you will every week. But, you know, you're looking at this Eagles defense here. They've actually been very friendly to tight ends. So Kittle is this week, I think, is even a better start than normal for me. In 10 games, they've given up 8 touchdowns to the position, the 4th most fantasy points on the season to the position. So I'm actually thinking Kittle is the guy that's going to smash this week, James. Besides Christian McCaffrey, who smashes every week and is obviously in your lineup. So Purdy, he's Purdy. Both receivers. Kittle's my smash play and McCaffrey MVP candidate. What about the Eagles against this tough Niners D?
I mean, I think you still play Swift, but you've got some other options. He's a player I could find my way to the bench. We certainly didn't see anything from Charbonnet versus this defense a week ago. Brown and Smith will play. They will play weekly, as will Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of that. Let's go to the final 425 kickoff. We talked about it before. The Rams are hosting the Browns, and on the Browns side, we'll see who starts at quarterback. It's not officially Flacco. Maybe they get him out of concussion protocol with Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I think he is the best option. Regardless who's there against the Rams, I think you can turn to Ford as a, you know, an unsexy RB2 play. Njoku, if you're desperate for a tight end, regardless who the quarterback is. We'll see if Kupp can play through his rib issue here. That's another thing. But it's not a lot to like on the Browns side. What about the Rams side of this ball? Besides Kyren Williams, who's a lock-in starter regardless of the matchup, how many of these other Rams you trust in against this tough Rams D? And, you know, it's really, or excuse me, this tough Browns D that's really been shutting opponents down.
I'm not trusting anybody. Not trusting anybody. Stafford's got to be a QB2 in this matchup, as good as he was a week ago. Tyler Higbee is not a tight end one. Maybe he becomes tight end 12 in my rankings when I look at, you know, the lack of Andrews, Hockenson, etc. But, it's, I mean, no better than that. How do you trust Nacua after last week in this matchup? But I think you'll turn to him. The secondary for Cleveland is very good. So, you know, Kupp and Nacua, when they're active, you're going to play them. But are you trusting them? Absolutely not.
No doubt about that. We got two night primetime games to break down. We'll start with the Chiefs and the Packers, and 6.5 the total here with Kansas City favorite. The total is at 42. And James, you talked a little bit about Jordan Love and his good game. I think this is a pretty tough matchup here with this Chiefs defense coming in. They can certainly get a pass rush, so we'll see how he adopts. Jalen Reed, Christian Watson, given what we've seen, these are guys that I'm going to put in my lineup. Dobbs, no thanks. Nothing at tight end, and the running back situation will be one to watch. But A.J. Dillon, if he gets that full load, is obviously in play here. And on the Chiefs side, this Packers defense been playing a little better of late too, James.
Yeah, Packers defense was actually very good on Thanksgiving. No question about it. I still think if you got Pacheco, you're going to play him. You got Mahomes, you got Kelsey, you're going to play him. The question is Rashee Rice in your lineup? Does it matter if Kadarius Toney plays if Rashee Rice is in your lineup? I think Rashee Rice, with all these teams on bye, is a wide receiver 3. I mean, I think he's in pretty much most lineups.
Yeah, regardless of who plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, dude, Pacheco's been unbelievable. I mean, he's had a great
season. Last week.
He keeps it up. I mean, Kelsey, I know people been ripping him and are a little disappointed, but I mean, he's still been pretty solid, and you're still glad to have him on your team. Trust me, heading into the playoffs. All right, the final game, the Bengals and the Jags. The other game I'll be at, this one I'll for sure be at next week, James. The Jags up to an 8.5-point favorite. The total's at 38.5. And offensively, I mean, Browning, for his part, I didn't think was terrible. He held on to the ball a little too much, which was concerning, and, you know, certainly made some plays, but did show the ability to get out of the pocket. So I'll say what I said last week. I mean, yes, it's a major downgrade for this entire offense, but Chase is the one guy that I think is still in your season-long lineups regardless. It wasn't great last week, but it was good enough, and I can't imagine a lineup this week where you're not going to play him. I am hopeful that the Bengals get T. Higgins back, and if that happens, I think that will only help Chase's chance because there'll be a little less attention on him as well. But the real disappointing thing is they failed to run the football here, so just 12 carries. I mean, the offensive line doing nothing. I thought Joe Mixon would still be, you know, volume-based top 20 running back. I'm going to give it another week before I give out hope, but it wasn't good here, James. This team's got to commit to the run if they're going to even stay in game. So we'll see how they respond. Right now, again, with the six teams on bye, it's going to be pretty tough to take Mixon out of season longs, but I'm not loving it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And quite frankly, Dan, I'm playing Tanner Hudson in a league.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there is some chemistry there. And the thing is, I mean, tight ends are such a crapshoot anyway. So once you get past the studs, it's dart throws as it is. But Jacksonville against this Bengals D that's been exposed all over the place. You got to like what you see here, James.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we saw Christian Kirk and Calvin Ridley both play well this week together. I think they're both in your lineups again this week, pretty much no question about it. It's, you know, if the Bengals continue to miss Cam Taylor-Britt, I mean, this defense doesn't have a whole lot of teeth left in it. So you love Travis Etienne as well as you love both of those receivers. And Ingram, I mean, we mentioned tight end. If you've been playing him, you'll continue to do so. And I think Trevor Lawrence is a QB1 this week, where he's kind of been on that bubble back and forth. This week, I think he's on the good side of it.
Yeah, so it should be a great week 13 as you make your final stretch run here into your playoffs. And if you're already playing in some of these high-stakes leagues or the Scott Fish Bowl or whatever it is, best of luck to you. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. You can get it. Spotify, Google Play, Apple to name a few, insiderfootball.com anytime. That's where all the tools you need for DFS season long, the podcast, it lives there. You can catch us weekends, Saturdays, all season long over on Fantastic's Insider Football. James, I won't be in this week on the show or next week on the podcast. Skeeter filling in as I make the trip to the Sunshine State. So, I'll miss you fellas, but, you know, I'll be thinking of you, my friend.
I hope you pull off the football doubleheader, dude. That sounds like a blast. And hey, I'll be thinking about you at the Eastern Conference Finals of the MLS Cup. So yes, don't worry. We're all partying this December, bro.
We will have some fun. I'll tell you what, I picked the perfect time because it's like 20 degrees today. And I was like, holy crap, I got to get back to shorts here, man, in a few days. So we'll do that for sure. And definitely you want to catch us again as we're back next week. If only a few more weeks left. So good luck. Enjoy the games. We'll catch you next time right here on the Fantastic's Insider Football Podcast.